Starting next month, state health inspectors will be making the rounds of food establishments, enforcing a new sanitation requirement. We sat down with Peter Oshiro, chief of the food sanitation branch, to talk about what's in store.
Anybody that has an existing food establishment permit with us, or anybody that's going to apply for a special event permit for any type of carnival or that kind of event, you're going to be required to have what they call a food handler's education certificate now. So this law was actually passed in September of 2017 by the Department of Health, and we've given industry 1 year to comply. And basically, it's they have to get food handlers, formal food handlers training certification. So when we do a routine inspection of a facility, we're going to actually check to make sure that while during the normal hours of operation that there's at least one person available at the food establishment that has formal food handlers education certificates.
It's the basics.
Very basic stuff. Make sure you wash your hands, what temperatures are required for refrigeration, hot holding, what do you cook food products too, in order to kill bacteria. And I guess it also covers sanitizing and cleaning. You have to have proper concentrations in the disinfectant solutions when you sanitize multi-use equipment. So the forks that everybody shares and the cups, those all have to be disinfected properly. And also about food source is really important, where you get your food from. So that's the things that are real basic things that are covered. It's usually about a 90-minute course with an exam at the end. And you can either do it through the Department of Health for free and no charge, or you can go online. There's a number of vendors that will do it for less than $10 to $15. Yeah. It's really very simple to get, and it's designed for entry-level food handlers. So this is really good information for everybody that even does bake sales, those type of things. It's also going to be required for them. So anybody that has even special event permits, if you're going to be selling shave ice at a carnival, you're also going to need that education certificate also. Yeah.
And this is really important because there's a lot of emphasis on food safety.
Right.
From the federal level, state level, and we've had cases, serious cases, yeah, of either improper handling and cases where I think people have actually died.
Yes, and that's, and all these food illnesses, nearly 99% of them, they're all preventable. So if you apply basic sanitation principles to your food handling, then you will not have any disease transmission. And the main thing is so simple, washing your hands before you handle any food products, making sure that you're in good health also. So any of your food handlers cannot have been ill with any vomiting and diarrhea in the last 72 hours. That's really, really important because most of these foodborne illnesses are gastrointestinal and they're transmitted by poor sanitizing or poor personal hygiene practices. So it's as simple as washing your hands very well and often, and that will prevent a lot of our foodborne illnesses.
And we did have a situation with some bad seafood.
Sure, yes. So one thing about the bad seafood, that was hepatitis A, that Genki sushi occurrence. That was a problem with a food supply that was already contaminated. There was actually nothing that the restaurant could have done short of cooking the food that would have absolutely prevented any hepatitis L transmission. So that's why part of the rule that we passed also requires all food establishment to warn the public that if you're going to consume anything that's raw or undercooked, that you're placing yourself at greater risk for contracting foodborne illnesses. There's nothing you could have done to prevent yourself other than getting a vaccine. So getting vaccinated is very, very important for hepatitis A, especially if you're like me that likes to eat a lot of raw seafood. It never stopped me and it won't stop me in the future. The risk is still very low, but these are things that you can contract and might affect your health long term, especially for the very young and the very old. And one thing good about that case, you know, with all the number of restaurants that were involved and the number of people that were ill, not one Genki employee contracted the hepatitis illness themselves. So that's kind of amazing that they were handling the product all this time. And that actually attests to their back of the house procedures where they were practicing very good personal hygiene practices by making sure they had gloves when they needed and making sure they're washing their hands frequently. So that's really, really indicative that they're doing really good practices where none of their employees contracted it from the product themselves. So that's a really good sign for them. Yeah.
I'm sure you folks are fortifying your efforts to make sure that the food that we eat is
right.
safe.
This is one of the last pieces for myself when I was trying to build, I guess, a base of food safety. So the first thing that we did was change the rule structure so we can have this placarding program. So it's all based around governmental transparency being used to influence industry behavior. So the whole thing is making your inspection reports public. So the placarding system was the first thing to tell the public what the last inspection looked like. And the other thing we did was we put it on a public website. So all of our inspections are in real-time reporting. The day that the inspection is done, it's already up on a public website for the whole world to see. So that has had a big influence on industry behavior. When you can show the owner of the restaurant right after you finish the inspection, you grab their smartphone and you go on the website and say, here, this is what the public sees. It's our unredacted inspections out there. So please correct it quickly. And right now, because of the placarding system, our inspectors find voluntary compliance very, very easy. Everybody self-fixes everything. We don't have to push anymore because of the transparency out there.
And you just recently rolled that out online.
Yes, that started in 2014. So in the past 4 years, the number of critical violations or the yellow placards issued has steadily declined. So we've seen great improvement in the industry where they're now self-policing themselves a lot. And the occurrences of major violations that lead to foodborne illnesses has dropped noticeably. Yeah.
And kudos to your department, because I remember 20, 30 years ago,
right,
it wasn't the case. And it was very difficult to find out what the inspectors found.
Right. When you have manual inspections, currently since 2014, we've conducted, probably about 25,000 inspections or so. And you can imagine trying to leaf through that in a hard copy file, in an old file cabinet where all the establishments are just listed alphabetically. It is very cumbersome. And as far as even data keeping, violation trends, very difficult for the regulatory agency to actually know what's happening out there. So all these computerized systems now gives us at a glance, we can see industry trends, what type of violations are more prevalent than others, and concentrate on those. So, we can see, I guess, after we roll out this mandatory education, we can see if it actually affects our violation rate also. So these are things that we're going to look for. We actually have in place the ability to use metrics to see if our actions actually result in better performance at the industry level.
And just safer food.
Correct. And that's what it's all about. Yeah.
Now, if for some reason you start this crackdown in September,
right,
and if a establishment violates it in some way, mm-hmm, then it delays them getting the green placard.
Well, what it is typically they'll probably have a green placard already up. So if the routine inspection, our inspector will walk in, do the inspection. If they don't have a certified food handler, then they're going to have to change that placard to a yellow, because the yellow placard will be issued if you have two or more major violations or one that cannot be corrected on site. So if they cannot get that certificate while the inspection is being done, then the inspectors have to put a yellow placard up and come back the next day to follow up.
The transparency that you've got in place now, I mean, mm-hmm, it really goes a long way in, like you said, self-policing.
It's right,
like if you don't want to lose business, you'd better step to it.
Right. And, even for them, industry was told, so if you're what they call a high-risk establishment, that means your full-service establishment, you're inspected 3 times a year. So that's 365 days. So let's say even if you get a yellow placard each of those 3 times, what the public is going to see for those 3 days out of the 365 is a yellow placard hanging outside your restaurant. It probably will affect your walk-in business. So what happens is the rest of the 362 days, if you do correct it immediately, the public is going to see that green placard. And that's what industry realized, that we're actually giving them a vote of confidence, telling the public that go ahead and eat here 362 days of the year, even though you got dinged 3 times, that's what the public will actually see. And when industry steps back and says, oh, that's correct, and all we want is rapid voluntary correction of violations, that's the whole goal for this thing. So
it's really a good housekeeping seal.
It is. That's what it is. And they recognize that now that helps business, right, to say that the department did come in, inspect this place, and there's no longer any, I guess, existing major violations out there. Yeah.
I remember hearing that when you wash your hands,
right,
it's kind of like you sing the happy birthday song.
Right. So, again, what's required is the law says it defines it as 20 seconds. So once you run the water, you have to wet your hands, then add soap, physically scrub your hands for 20 seconds, and then rinse it off and use a disposable paper towel to dry your hands after
that. You can sing happy birthday.
Correct.
To yourself.
Singing happy birthday twice covers 20 seconds at a normal pace.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks. I appreciate you.
We really thank you folks also for helping us get the public messaging out.
That was Peter Oshiro, chief of the state's food sanitation branch, talking about enforcement of new rules that begins next month. To find out more, visit the Conversation Facebook page.